Hi, this is Jay Evans from the USDA ARS Bee Research Laboratory in Beltsville, Maryland. And I'm going to read an essay that I wrote for Bee Culture magazine called Found in Translation, Letting Bees Be Bees. Using insights from the natural habits of bees to improve one's beekeeping is an old art. Hygienic behaviors are good examples of a complex set of protective behaviors, part of a bee colony's, quote, social immunity, that occur naturally in many bee populations. Boosting these behaviors through breeding can result in better colony outcomes. Why some bee lineages fail to enact hygienic behavior is thought to reflect costs and benefits. Nonstop vigilance is costly and possibly even causes self-harm. While having those traits when times are tough, now, for example, given varroa mites, can lead to better growth and survival. This makes the use of, quote, immunity and social immunity an even more apt term. Individual immunity can save the lives of humans or bees or plants when warranted by infection. But this immunity is most helpful when it is turned on only as needed and used in ways that do not harm the responsive individual. Witness autoimmune disorders in humans. In this way, social and individual immunity are also analogous to the use of antibiotics. When done judiciously, they can be lifesavers, but nobody rides for free. A recent paper presents an at-scale view of one of the most studied social immune traits, arguably just behind hygienic behavior. Bees of many species collect plant resins as they forage, collectively called propolis, when it is smeared on the nests of social bees. Marla Spivak from the University of Minnesota and colleagues worldwide have perfected the art of studying honeybee propolis, from collection to chemistry to outcomes. One 2017 study is summarized here in this column. It's at www.beeculture.com/found-in-translation-4/. Controlled studies in bee cages and manipulated colonies have shown the benefits of propolis in the short term, but short of calling for landscape-level shifts to plantings with the best harvestable resins or selection for bees that are propolis pigs, neither of which is a terrible idea, these studies have not led to management solutions that exploit this trait until recently. Professor Spivak and other scientists have proposed that beekeepers can strengthen the propolis envelopes in their colonies simply by giving bees an incentive to gather more. One such incentive turns out to be a series of grooves in the otherwise smooth Langstroth hive body. Maggie Shanahan from the Spivak group headed up a team that deployed rough and smooth Langstroth hives filled with related bees traveling the same commercial beekeeping routes to see if the simple act of promoting propolis affected key bee traits. They also deployed propolis traps alongside rough hive bodies in a stationary large-scale apiary. The group's research, along with reviews of a decade of studying propolis, is described in an open access article in the journal PLOS One. That's by Shanahan et al. And the title of the article, if you want to search it, is Thinking Inside the Box: Restoring the Propolis Envelope Facilitates Honeybee Social Immunity. And it's in the journal PLOS, which is PLOS space one in 2024. And you should find it for free online. The results for colony strength were subtle and statistically significant in only one of several sampling points. First, more propolis was stored in the rough boxes than in boxes fitted with propolis traps, and both stored more propolis than smooth boxes. So roughing up boxes did change collection behavior by bees. Stationary colonies showed no differences in colony size, which is an aggregate of bees and brood, and migratory colonies showed significantly larger colonies for rough boxes in only one of three sampling points. This suggests that the benefits of propolis could be conditional on other pressures like disease loads out there. supporting a role of propolis against disease, the scientists saw significantly decreases in genetic signals for the agent behind European fowl brood. And even a hint, that is a non-significant trend, of reduced varroa levels in propolis-rich hives. As in prior studies, the individual immune responses of bees in a propolis-rich environment were lower, perhaps reflecting lower costs at the individual level in fighting off disease. Of some concern, in one experiment, smaller colonies with rough walls tended to store substantially less honey than did smaller colonies not prompted to collect extra propolis. This needs more exploration, but it is possible that smaller colonies, after devoting effort to building their propolis envelopes, had to cut back on foraging trips for nutrients. In support of that, when smaller colonies were already housed in propolis-lined boxes, this cost seemed to disappear. So, not fatal to the premise at all, but suggestive that, as above, nothing in this life is free. The authors and others continue to explore the dynamics of propolis collection, beekeeper prompts, and health effects, and they will be the authorities on when it might make sense to rough up your hive boxes. But back to the world bees are sampling on their flights. It's pretty well known which plants provide the resins that become propolis. If these plants are limiting in the environment, it's conceivable that part of a, quote, planting for bees could be setting up the mostly trees that provide such resins. Daniel Desmarien and colleagues in Romania have been investigating the effects of a range of plant chemicals on bee health, and they have summarized the list of potential beneficial propolis sources in a paper called Plant Sources Responsible for the Chemical Composition and Main Bioactive Properties of Poplar-type Propolis. And that's in the journal Plants, PLANTS, from 2021, also available online for free. While this study focused on Europe, there is substantial overlap between their identified tree groups and related trees and shrubs in the U.S. And for the other critical component, quote, can honeybees collect propolis or other plant sources, quote, only as needed? We can sluggardly go to the ants and ant researchers who are well along this path of investigation. I have highlighted before a study from Switzerland showing that ants not only use resins in response to fungal disease, but can actually potentiate or activate that resin by mixing it with their self-made formic acid. And this is a paper with the first author, Brutsch, B-R-U-T-S-C-H, titled, Wood Ants Produce, that's wood as in W-O-O-D, Ants, produce a potent antimicrobial agent by applying formic acid on tree-collected resin. Fascinating paper. I bet bees can do the same. In a practical sense, this suggests that the benefits of resin could depend on other incoming plant compounds or beekeeper-applied treatments, perhaps. It also shows how letting bees be bees, with some guardrails, could lead to them making their own wise health decisions. And this does not mean you can drop other management tools quite yet. Happy spring, and keep an eye on what your bees are collecting out there. Thank you for listening, and good luck with your beekeeping.